Joining us right now is the DFL endorsed candidate for the Senate District 25, which is down the Rochester area. Sarah Flick is kind enough to join us to talk about her campaign as Democrat of the day. Hi, Sarah.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for joining us today. You are, of course, Rochester area. I think the 25 is the north side of Rochester, then runs out west. Is it to Dodge City?
Dodge Center. Yep, that's correct.
All right, so you've definitely this is a definite DFL pickup area here, being part of the Rochester metro areas. It's on that 90 corridor here. So glad that you're running. Glad things are hopefully going to look good for you here. I'd love to see you up in St. Paul. Why don't you introduce us all to who exactly is Sarah Flick?
Yeah, well, thank you so much. And yep, you're right. I am the DFL endorsed candidate for SD25. I am a working mom, so my background is actually in marketing and economic development. A little bit about my backstory. My husband and I moved to Rochester. He is originally from here. We met in Phoenix, Arizona, where I worked in economic development. And part of the reason that we relocated, besides Minnesota being the best state ever, and actually I tell this story, but I fell in love with the state of Minnesota probably before I fell in love with my husband. So when he brought me for a visit 10 years ago, I think I've been bugging him since we got married to relocate. But what really changed it for us was deciding to start a family. So we have a four-year-old, and part of the reason that we left is Arizona had really failed to fund its education system. So that was hit us on two fronts. One, we didn't want to send our son to suboptimal public schools. And two, from an economic development standpoint, I was starting to see how that was starting to affect the Arizona economy. So we come here, love my career, love my job, but I'm starting to see some pullback of education funding in this state, which concerns me a great deal. I sort of came from seeing what happens when you do that, and I want to make sure that doesn't happen. So education is big on my list, and making sure really that we put people back in the center of our economic plan as a state. So making sure that Minnesota remains a great place for people to raise children or start a business or just move here to work and enjoy life. Mm-hmm. And in order to do that, we need to put people back in the center of our economic plan and the center of our policy. And that's what I'm really here to do. Like many people, I'm a millennial. I'm an older millennial. I know what a floppy disk is, but I'm like most folks. A lot of folks who are, moving to my district who are represent young families who see, we've got student loan debt. We've got child care here that is just astronomical, housing that is difficult to deal with. We've been represented by Senator Senjum for quite some time now. And, I've heard him speak about things like paid family leave, which is obviously near and dear to my heart, and say things like it puts too much of a burden on business to do that. And I think that's not where our heads should be as representatives of people. We should be really thinking about how is this impacting the families that we serve and our constituents. So that's what I'm hoping to do, and I'm really just honored to get the DFL endorsement and to work hard so that the real work can start up in St. Paul next year.
Well, you kind of alluded to this, and it's kind of one of the things you said. Is why I ask people always, why do you decide to run? And it's one of the things that's interesting is you and I can share this as parents, just as parents. I have seen states firsthand where they don't spend money on education, and you come to Minnesota and you're like, oh my god, this is like amazing. These are your public schools. I mean, to get anything like there's at least 20 states where to get anything like our public schools you would have to go to a private school in those states. It is truly amazing, which then leads to the other point you made, is the minute someone starts talking about cuts, all of a sudden you get real defensive, saying, no, you don't realize how good we've got it. We do not need to be cutting back on stuff right now.
Right. And these are people, who claim to be sort of pro-business. They're running the state like a business. And, the first thing you have to do in a business is recognize the value of people. And these have real implications. So even something down to child care, expensive child care, where you say, well, okay, I'm not a parent. How does that impact me? Well, I just spoke to an entrepreneur here in my district who said, I have this very specific, medical position that I need to fill. And I found the perfect candidate But, you know, she's a single mom, and when it came to finding affordable childcare, she couldn't find it and ended up having to stay where she was, making less money in a different state. You know, that's someone who would be coming here to do work that benefits us all in the medical research space, who'd be contributing to our economy and you know, working and thriving in Minnesota, but she couldn't do that because the childcare was too expensive. So these have bigger ramifications. And when we do put people at the center and we do invest, it's the rising tide lifts all boats, right? And so, we need to get back to doing that. And I think it's really ultimately the difference between short-term thinking and long-term investing.
Well, and one of the things I think that when you talk about this is that and there's a tweet that you have on your Twitter feed here where you're talking about the bonding bill, and it is the way that. One of the things I like about your style is you present things the way they should be presented by DFLers. And frankly, and I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of DFLers don't know how to do this by not talking about spending, but you're talking about investing. And it's like because you have about a bonding bill here. You can talk. I mean, I've lived in small towns. I've been there. It's not a spendage, you know, an expenditure. It's an investment, for goodness sakes, when you're talking about a road or a water pump station or a new sewer line or new ditches or an investment into the schools or broadband. It's not a spending thing. It's an investment because when you spend that money, and whether it's just making the day-to-day routine for anyone in a community better or adding something like a broadband where then all of a sudden you expand out your education, your medical, your business community. That's an investment, and those investments pay dividends.
Right. Yeah, I agree. We you know, I sort of use the analogy of you know, how you're going to spend money on your house, right? If you're a homeowner, you know you have to spend money on your house or your car. Let's use a car as an example. You know, you have to get those routine oil changes. It's going to cost you money, but we've got to stop acting like people think we're trying to get, you know, a new paint job when what we're really trying to do is change the oil to make sure that the engine doesn't break down in the future. So we have to start, talking about these things and thinking about these things in the future. You know, I'm a mom of a 4-year-old. I don't have the luxury of only thinking about even 10 years down the line. I've got to be thinking about what is his future and what is, you know, his classmates and the kiddos of his age, what kind of state are we going to leave them? Because the truth of the matter is in a globalized economy, you know, Minnesota isn't just competing with other states. We're competing around the world. And the more we can make this a place to attract, you know, the best talent and people who are healthy and able to work and live and enjoy life, the more the business will follow. Of course it will. And so that's the message I'm trying to get out there.
I like your car analogy because by basically saying, well, we don't want to do the fancy stuff, a lot of states have talked themselves into a rusted out junk pile, missing 2-quarter panels, missing 3 tires, sitting up on blocks in the front of the house, and they act like, see, it works just fine. And the reality is that Minnesota is a nice, reliable family car. It's not flashy. It's not going to be speeding down the street. It's not going to win any, you know, awards at the auto show, but it's going to do the job, and it does the job correctly. But that's because you do the routine maintenance. You make care. You take care of it. You clean it out every once in a while. You wash it. It's basically making sure that the system we have, which is an incredibly effective system in Minnesota, stays effective, and that's by basically making sure we don't just give all the tax dollars back to a handful of wealthy corporations at the expense of our communities.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that, you know, the other thing coming from economic development that I hear, and one of the arguments that I hear is, well, we're just not going to, then it won't be a place where businesses, we'll have businesses move out. Oh, so a couple things wrong with that. One, coming from economic development, the top things that companies actually look for when they're looking to expand or relocate to a state is actually not first cost of business. It's can I get the talent that I need? And the transportation infrastructure.
Yep. Some,
you know, they need to be able to move executives in and out, or they need to be able to move goods and supplies in and out. And so those things require an investment from the state to get, right? So it's not just that. And then the other thing I would say to that, as I've worked in boardrooms, I've heard from some of these executives, they make a great deal of money because they're very good at what they do. And I have yet to hear one of them just say, well, I guess we're going to have to shut our doors and close up shop because this policy is just not going to work for us. They work around it. They figure it out. But these voters don't have, you know, corporate lobbyists. They don't have corporate lawyers. They don't have, you know, finance teams to figure out how to make it work for them. And so that's what we need our representatives to do. So that's part of why I really want to get up to St. Paul and just, you know, hearing from so many constituents in my district who are, you know, and it's not just people who are at the lower end of the economic spectrum. We have, you know, very affluent people here who are in my age range who are saying the same thing. Man, Sarah, I am working so hard and I cannot get ahead. You know, I am one of those people who, you know, I'd love to have more children, mm-hmm. but right now it's not financially an option for me and my husband, despite mm-hmm. how much money we make. And, you know, we're not, you know, rich by any means, but we're not struggling like others. So it's everybody is working harder and harder in Minnesota and around the country, and we're just not seeing that payoff for people. And I think that needs to change.
And telling them to get back to work during a pandemic probably is not the smartest idea either.
Nope.
Sarah, I want to make sure I do send people, because we this is something that was just interesting. Earlier this week when we restarted Democrat of the Day, one of the things that came out is that usually one of the things I tell people is head on down to her district this summer, door knock, help her out in her district, Senate District 25, once again, North Rochester. This is, if you are in one of these blue districts up in the metro area, that's a relatively safe district. Sure, write a check, help out your local representation, but get down there, help out 25. We need to flip that Senate. The reality is we still don't quite know how helping you in your district is going to manifest itself. We do know this. Yeah. Donations always work. We also do know that you know, it might just be a case where you're doing phone banking. You might not be doing the door-to-door, but there will be volunteer opportunities in some capacity for people that do want to help you out, right?
Absolutely. So flickforsenate.com, FlickForSenate.com is the best place to go. Yeah, donations obviously are super helpful, but this is also, you know, as other candidates I talked to, this is really a digital election. It's going to be a digital election. So if you are out there and you want to, all the links to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are there, liking, sharing my content. I'd invite everyone. So we're trying to get really creative with how we think about, you know, doing these digital events. And one of the things, you know, being involved in active in politics my whole life, never thought I'd really be a candidate. But one of the criticisms I have is it's super boring sometimes. It's hard to get people into the fold, you know, just to come listen to someone on a talking head Zoom. So one of the things I'm trying, it may work, it may not, but May 21st at 5:30, I'm actually doing a Facebook Live where I'm going to cook one of my favorite dishes. So if you're sick of your repertoire in quarantine and you want something new, check that out on Facebook, but share it with other people, because I'm going to be talking about policy. I'm going to be answering questions, but hopefully then people can learn a little bit more about me. And I think the more we can get the name out there of candidates like me and other candidates who are in very competitive districts, the better off we're going to be, because this is going to be a lot of word of mouth. It's going to be phone banking for sure. But I think the degree that we can get our online profiles of DFL candidates out there, I think the better chances we'll have of flipping the Senate.
All right. Now, once again, this is going to be May 21st, 5:30 p.m. on Facebook, streaming live. Chicken broccoli Alfredo hot dish. Okay, that sounds pretty good. Tasty. And then, of course, and good policy as well. This is a great idea, by the way. I like this a lot, Sarah. Flickforsenate.com, Flick for Senate. I will make sure I link to everything on Facebook, on Twitter as well. And we'll also spotlight this interview and get this posted out there. Sarah, all my best down in Senate District 25. I hope things go very well. I'd love to see you in the St. Paul coming up here next year. And thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Yeah. Of course. Thank you. And to you and your listeners, please, please be safe, be well, take care of yourself and others.
Thank you, Sarah. Sarah Flick, once again, if you'd like to donate, volunteer, Flick for Senate, Flick for Senate. I'll link that later on. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.